This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Fed Access. Thank you for coming by the show. Today, we're going to be talking about an organization that maybe many people haven't heard, but they really do have an impact across the world in terms of putting out broadcasts. That's I wouldn't say government sponsored, and we'll find out a little bit more about what they do. But it's broadcasts that are very much geared towards people in the international, other international countries and everywhere else. Voice of America is one of their agencies, and you may have heard of that. But there's a number of different agencies they have under them. It is the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and I have Bruce Sherman. He's the director of the Office of Strategy and Development on the line, and I also have Jeff Trimble. He is the IBB, which I think is the International Broadcasting Bureau. Is that right, Jeff?
That's correct. Thanks.
And he's the deputy director of the International Broadcasting Bureau. Hey, you know, I've known about BBG for a long time. I know your different kind of broadcast, but I honestly have a feeling that a lot of people don't necessarily know what BBG is. They may have heard about Voice of America. I used to listen to Voice of America, especially when I was in the Marines and I was overseas, and I was listening to Voice of America all the time. You know, Voice of America and BBC were kind of my lifeline. But talk to us about what BBG is, and then the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and what you guys do. And Bruce, maybe kick it off, and then Jeff, follow it up from there.
Well, thank you, Derek. It's a pleasure to be on your show, first of all, and a pleasure to be speaking to your listeners. The Broadcasting Board of Governors is a federal agency that oversees all U.S. government-funded international media. That includes radio, television, internet, social media, the full range of media modes. The BBG oversees. It's funded again by the U.S. Congress. You mentioned already one of the media properties that falls under the BBG, the Voice of America. The other properties, media organizations, are Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, which is based in Prague in the Czech Republic, Radio and Television Marti, which is based in Miami, Radio Free Asia, which is headquartered in Washington, and our Middle East Broadcasting Networks, which are headquartered in Springfield, Virginia. Middle East Broadcasting Networks encompass Radio Sawa and Al Hura Television. So the BBG is the agency name. We are also a 9-member presidentially appointed Senate confirmed board that oversees the BBG. So there is a board of governors, and the name of the agency is the Broadcasting Board of Governors. There's an historical circumstance to that that we can explain to you. But the BBG, you may think of it as the Agency for U.S. International Media, with the brand name media properties that I identified as the organizations that fall under the BBG.
Right. Jeff, you want to kick in and even kind of break down, Jeff, what the IBB is?
Derek, thanks, and thanks to you again for having us on. There was a key word that you mentioned in your kickoff to the segment here, which was you listened to us when you were overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We target foreign audiences outside the United States, which is one reason we're not terribly familiar, to people here in the U.S., although our content is available on the Internet here because that is a global medium. We distribute content in 59 languages, and we reach in excess of 180 million people around the world each week with that content in 59 languages. So we are one of the largest media organizations with one of the largest audiences in the world today. So again, thanks for your interest in helping us tell the American people a little bit more about what we do. You asked about the IBB. The International Broadcasting Bureau is the kind of umbrella organization which provides multimedia broadcast distribution for all of our content around the world, as well as technical and administrative support to all of our broadcasters. And it also includes our front offices, one of which Bruce heads on strategy and distribution and other front office operations of the agency.
Outstanding. You know, with all of this, I mean, some people will ask the question, and you know, especially in these times where the federal government is under fire, budgets are shrinking and everything else, people would ask the question, and I understand why, but they will ask the question, why do we need an agency that's focused in on, targeting that foreign audience? I mean, what is this about? I mean, is this diplomacy? What is this agency purpose in terms of, is it to make the Americans, look good? You know, break down what, and that may be a historical context to that, but, help people understand what the mission and what the reasons that we do this.
I would jump in, it's Jeff here, Derek, right away with saying that, first of all, everything we're discussing here, people can access a lot more information about us after they've listened to us here at our website, www.bbg.gov. And that website includes our strategy, which talks a lot about what we're doing, a new strategy that Bruce will talk about in more detail at some point. But I would just say that we're at a historic junction of global political and economic upheaval right now, and as well as a sweeping revolution in communications. So with our basic mission of promoting democracy and freedom through our broadcasts and our information, I would point out that the global need right now today for news, analysis, and free debate's probably never been more timely or relevant. I mean, look what's happening around the world, the Middle East and North Africa, where you have vibrant but really uneven democratic transformation underway. You have extremist propaganda in countries and emanating from countries around the world, Afghanistan, Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, Somalia. And this stokes threats to U.S. national security and global security. You have countries around the world, from Belarus to Russia to other countries, that repress human rights and restrict free flows of information. And governments that censor news. You have China, Cuba, countries that have declared war against the Internet. And finally, you have millions of people around the world, Africa, Haiti, and elsewhere, who are suffering famine, natural disasters, and disease, and they desperately need humanitarian information lifelines that we provide in our broadcasting. So I think we make the point that we're more relevant today than at any point during the history of U.S. international broadcasting.
And Bruce, you want to jump in on that?
Well, yeah, Derek, I would say we all recognize that there are more media outlets around the world today than ever before. So we all accept the fact that the world is awash in media. But those organizations like Freedom House that track press freedom around the world cite the fact that notwithstanding all of these media outlets, press freedom around the world is at a two-decade low. So more media does not translate into more media freedom. Take a country like China, for example. There are 200 million microblogs in China. The Chinese government nationally inside the country and then, of course, globally supports scores of media outlets, television, radio stations, internet sites. And yet we all know that there is no freedom of the press in China. Again, more media does not mean more media freedom. So to support the point that Jeff was just making and the story that we tell, we are more needed than ever. Even at a time of very complex global media environment.
You know, as you break down the different components of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and I would like to kind of get into this in the next segment, and I really want to look at what are the different components targeted at. Voice of America versus radio and TV. Is it Marty? Am I pronouncing that right? Marty?
Marti.
And we know, kind of breaking each one of them down and what the target audience is and then what their own individual missions are. I want to touch on that when we come back after the next segment. And then I really want to kind of go into your strategy about, where is BBG going and what are we looking at towards the future in terms of media? You got a new website out, got a new strategy. You're looking at maybe other partnerships and other dynamics that's going on. I really want to kind of go into that. We're talking to Jeff Trimble. He is IBB's deputy director, and IBB is an international broadcasting bureau. And we're also talking to Bruce Sherman. He is the Bruce is director of the Office of Strategy and Development, right?
Yes, I'm the director of the Office of Strategy and Development for the BBG.
For the BBG. He's director of the Office of Strategy and Development, and they both work for the Broadcasting Board of Governors. We'll be right back after this break and learn more about their mission and more about what they're doing. You listen to Derek T. George on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I have this dream where I'm wading through a crowd. Now and then, someone stops and offers me a new job, and it seems like the opportunities are endless. Soon I'm doing the work I've always wanted to do, designing smarter energy systems that transform communities, save millions of dollars, and wait, that's no dream. That actually happened. After I got my master's degree in electrical engineering from Capital College.
Capital's master's program in electrical engineering prepares you for some of today's most in-demand jobs. It's conducted online with live streaming audio, so you get the interactivity of a classroom without having to fight traffic to get there. And Capital is one of only 8 colleges and universities nationwide endorsed by IEEE as a provider of a quality engineering education.
I'm living out my dream because of Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For a virtual info session on graduate programs at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 133 years, AFMA has proudly served the U.S. Armed Forces community. We're more than just great life insurance for the military family. We're your guide through life's challenges by offering the right products at the right time for the best price. Our Survivor Assistance Services team provides compassionate and caring advice and assistance for your family at a most critical time. At AFMA, we understand the many challenges that military families can face during their service and after the loss of a loved one. As a nonprofit membership association, AFMA always focuses on what's best for you. That means offering the best prices on life insurance for all military personnel and the best services for survivors. And it also means offering policies with no war or aviation clauses. For a free life insurance quote, call a membership coordinator at 1-877-398-2263 or visit us online at AFMA.com. That's AAFMAA.com.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Many factors affect job satisfaction. Hours, teammates, and opportunity can all make or break an experience. That's why it was an impressive achievement when 100% of employees surveyed recently reported they were proud to work for Acuity Inc. With a 766% growth rate and recognition as a best place to work, Acuity is attracting talented, passionate professionals and keeping them happy. Learn more. Visit myacuity.com/careers.
Adobe Acrobat Pro is actually used very commonly for PDF archiving. If you've got a lot of files of different formats and different types, if you just save these files in all these different formats, then 20 years later somebody wants to look at the file, they'd actually have to have the program that could open up that file. So for digital archiving, you'd rather have a standardized file format.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Dorch on Fed Access. Thank you for listening. If you just joined us, we are talking about a unique agency called the Broadcasting Board of Governors, a unique very agency that's targeting the foreign population in terms of putting out broadcasts, putting out news and information. And basically the news, I would probably say that news that comes from a democratic dynamic in terms of free news that's not necessarily a spin on anything, that, you know, that's not necessarily controlled by a government. It's news that people can use and understand and can make decisions from. We're talking to Jeff Trimble. He is the IBB's deputy director, and IBB stands for the International Broadcasting Bureau. And we're also talking to Bruce Sherman. He is in charge of the Office of Strategy and Development. He's in charge of that office. He's the director of that office right there. You know, gentlemen, I was asking about the different dynamics that you have under BBG, Voice of America, and other entities. If you don't mind, can you break those things down and break, you know, their mission, their purpose? Who are they targeting? What audiences, what countries, and everything else?
Well, Derek, you noted correctly our fundamental mission, which is to provide accurate and objective, fact-based news and information, basically great journalism, to our audiences around the world. All of our broadcasters, from the Voice of America to Radio Free Europe, the Radio and TV Marti organization, Radio Free Asia, and our Middle East Broadcasting Network, are all committed to that same fundamental mission, because we believe that over the long run, a free press and support for freedom of expression are critical to nurturing freedom and democracy.
And freedom, Jeff,
democracy are in the United States' long-term interest.
Let me jump in real quick, Jeff, and ask this, because I think somebody would ask the question, especially maybe if it was an international person listening to this right now, and they say, well, listen, you know what? A BBG is U.S. controlled. And so being that that is the case, are the journalists required to, or are the journalists free to report the news as they would if they were working for any other entity, whether it be BBC or anybody else or U.S. News? You know, I mean, is there any control by the U.S. government over the reporting standards, so to say, before we kind of get into the entities?
The journalists are not only free to report as they see fit as professionals, they're required to do so by the legislation, the U.S. International Broadcasting Act of 1994, which is our founding legislation. That legislation requires U.S. international broadcasting to do journalism at the highest standards of Western journalism, and that means, of course, telling the whole story. So there is not a directive policy line from anyone in government to tell people what to do and not to do as journalists. Now, of course, inherent in doing high-quality journalism is telling the whole story, getting it all out there. So we have to do balanced and accurate reporting. It's an opportunity as well to mention a specific role of the Oversight Board itself, the Broadcasting Board of Governors, consisting of 9 members, 8 appointed by the President and the Secretary of State. The board serves as a firewall against any potential political interference in the journalistic product. So if there were to be efforts to interfere with the content and to affect it, it's the board's job to step in and ensure that the journalistic integrity and independence of the broadcasters is protected.
Bruce, talk to us about the different agencies that fall under BBG.
What Congress asked us to do, as we've just described, is this great journalism. They specifically ask us to do 3 things. They ask us to do the news. They also ask us to represent America and to present and discuss U.S. policy. So those are the 3 fundamental mandates. Our different media organizations fulfill those mandates in unique and complementary ways across the world. The Voice of America is an organization that does news, but the Voice of America also carries forth that special mission of representing America and presenting and discussing U.S. policy. Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Europe, and the Marti organization expressly look at developments inside the countries that they are broadcasting to. So they're doing the local news piece, again, to complement what Voice of America is doing in terms of global news coverage and the representing America and presenting and discussing the policy side. Middle East Broadcasting Networks combine both of those. They operate only in the Arabic language for the broader Middle East. So each of our media properties takes a different part of the mandates that Congress has asked us to fulfill, and in concert, they carry these out in all of our broadcast territories. Jeff mentioned 59 languages. We operate in more than 100 countries, Derek, around the world. So we're carrying out these different mandates through these different media properties and doing so in a way that reaches significant audiences with programming that they find attractive.
You know, I saw that Voice of America is celebrating its 70th year of being on the air. You know, and a lot has changed over those years. And as we look at the different dynamics, you know, Radio Free Europe and everything else, the context to me strikes that you have various properties who were very much focused in on giving information to people who were like Voice of America, countries who were possibly communistic at one point in time, where people couldn't get free information, you know, in countries who were non-democratic, you know, Radio Free of Europe and other things like that. There was that mission out there to really help people get, you know, that real information that was going on in the world. Is that what that mission still is about?
Yes, fundamentally. And you note, I think, a very interesting circumstance, Derek. U.S. international broadcasting is a United States national security asset. We're an element of U.S. national power in the way in which soft power is described now. And we have been that since the founding of the Voice of America in 1942 in response to World War II and the rise of Nazism in Germany. And as we saw in the establishment of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty in 1949 and 1950, that was in a response to Soviet totalitarianism. And we could go on and look at when Congress has decided to create broadcasting new media properties that are supported by the U.S. government. It has always been in the response to a perceived national security threat.
So while there's some continuity in our mission, certainly, and through the history, as Bruce has just described, it's not your granddad's international broadcasting anymore. And just a quick look at some of the demographics can show that. Voice of America draws about half of its audience now in Africa.
Okay.
Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, the majority of its broadcasts are to populations and countries whose populations are primarily Muslim. So the emphasis, the target audiences, the places we're reaching people with information certainly have shifted over the years. And as countries that formerly were communists become firmly anchored in Western institutions, we drop our broadcasts. We don't broadcast to every country in the world. We don't broadcast to the Baltic states any longer, although we did during the Cold War, of course, because they're in NATO and they're in the European Union now, and they have a free and vibrant democracy and media. So we don't have a place there any longer.
You know, as you know, we think about this, and you're kind of broadcasting to various countries. And I was going to ask you about Africa, and I'm glad that to hear that Voice of America is broadcasting to Africa. And I don't know if there's any kind of strategy or possible developmental idea to develop a Radio Free Africa or whatever. I mean, Africa is a little bit more freer than other states sometimes. But as we look at things, and you're broadcasting into these various countries, how do people, especially in these environments, I mean, and what is the strategy to make sure that people are listening? And can you monitor how many people are listening to Radio Free Asia or Voice of America? I mean, how can you tell that there's an effect, there's an impact on your work?
Well, in the first place, Derek, the key to effectiveness is to provide our audiences with news and information and other types of programming that are directly relevant to their lives. That's the key to successful programming anywhere in the world for any media outlet, including, of course, domestic outlets in this country. We do that in a host of vernacular languages. In other words, we literally speak the languages of the audiences whom we're trying to reach. We provide them with information about their realities, about their societies that matter to them. We do extensive research to gauge whether people are listening, and toward what effect, what impact is the programming having that we're providing. We do research all over the world. We're one of the leaders, in fact, in global audience and market research. And so we discern what our audience's needs and preferences are, and we program to those while keeping in mind the mission that Congress has given us. In other words, we're both market and mission-driven. And we mix those two successfully to reach significant audiences and to fulfill our mandates from Congress.
And in that, with the mandates being fulfilled, you know, in terms of kind of monitoring, and you made a good point of kind of making sure the message, you know, for people in other countries, you know, is are you broadcasting in a way to say, listen, we know there's going to be a low frequency, or we know that these people here, I mean, you know, what are the different strategies that are being utilized in order to make sure that a person in, you know, a country that may not be as free, or a development type country, a country that's in the process of developing, that may not have the same kind of communication or technology that we have here, are you making sure that all the tools are being put in place in order to make sure that they are able to tap into these channels?
It's crucially important that we reach people on their preferred media platforms today.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to the need for the kind of research that Bruce has described that gives us an understanding how are people getting their news and information. Are they listening to the radio? Are they watching television? Are they seeking news and information on the internet? And then can we reach them on those particular media? Because, of course, in some countries, we're limited in our ability to distribute our content domestically because the governments actively block us or simply don't give us permission to broadcast there within the country. So if you take Africa, one of Voice America's largest audiences is in Hausa to Nigeria, which is exclusively or almost exclusively on shortwave radio. Each week. But there are other markets in which we're seeing rapid growth of use of our products through the internet. And of course, television globally is the dominant medium for news and information. So we're seeking ways to reach audiences on television, whether through domestic distribution or satellite TV.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the strategy and where Broadcasting Board of Governors is going. You know, what's the future looking like? And what is, you know, what is the upcoming strategy? I see you got a new website that's out here, which I like. The new website for BBG has kind of been launched, and that's a great thing. So we want to talk about all the different aspects in terms of a new strategy and where the Broadcasting Board of Governors and where all the different other elements are going when we come back. We're talking to Bruce Sherman. He's Director of Office of Strategy and Development at the Broadcasting Board of Governors. And we're talking to Jeff N. Trimble. What does the N stand for, Jeff?
Nicholas.
Nicholas. All right. I thought there was going to be something like, hey, listen, I'm I was going to say something powerful or something like that, but Nicholas is powerful enough, Jeff. He is the IBB's deputy director. And IBB, Jeff, is what?
The International Broadcasting Bureau, which provides broadcast distribution and support for our broadcasters.
And they both work for Broadcasting Board of Governors. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Governments at all levels are operating in an era of fiscal austerity. Though revenues may be falling, the demand for critical services continues. Join host Michael Keegan as he welcomes Seth Diamond, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Homeless Services, as they discuss New York City's response to the challenge of homelessness. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Staying focused on your mission requires making smart decisions and mitigating unnecessary risks. That's why many agencies turn to GSA. With unparalleled experience in acquisition and financial compliance and technical expertise, GSA makes it easy for federal civilian and military customers to maintain mission focus and enhance program performance by adding value. With trained professionals in contracting, financial, and program management, GSA stands ready to help execute large-scale and/or complex and/or sensitive IT and professional services projects while maintaining seamless compliance with today's tough mandates. With GSA, you gain a trusted partner to ensure delivery promises are kept on time, on budget, and at best value. To learn how GSA can help, call 703-605-3699. That's 703-605-3699. Or visit gsa.gov/AAS. That's gsa.gov/AAS. GSA, providing custom solutions to your complex requirements.
By combining HP 3PAR utility storage with HP ProLiant Gen 8 servers powered by the latest Intel Xeon processors, you can lower your total cost of ownership and improve project ROI. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how HP can power your data center into the future. Call GovConnection's experienced federal team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
On April 28th and 29th, you can experience over 3,000 interactive activities during a free USA Science and Engineering Festival at the DC Convention Center. The goal of the festival is to stimulate interest, especially in kids, about science, technology, engineering, and math. It is the brainchild of entrepreneur Larry Bach, who's the festival's director.
We celebrate athletes and pop stars and movie actors and actresses, but we don't celebrate scientists and engineers, and as a result, there's been a dramatic decline in the number of people pursuing those fields.
Bach says the festival will include art, music, comedy, theater, a book fair, and more. Attendees can try lots of hands-on activities like high-tech role-playing.
Go into a virtual reality environment, perform surgery using a surgical robot, fly an F-14 fighter jet.
It all takes place next weekend, Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's free. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, WTOP News.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch from Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and they are a unique agency targeting audiences overseas. I mean, providing information, news over the radio, shortwave radio, internet, YouTube, all kind of different things, TV, providing information to overseas markets, especially markets that need to have a little bit more of a broadcasting of free information, free news, to understand what's going on in a democratic society. I'm talking to Bruce Sherman. He's director of the Office of Strategy and Development at the Broadcasting Board of Governors. And I'm talking to Jeff Trimble. He's IBB's deputy director, and IBB stands for the International Broadcasting Bureau. So he's also at the Board of Governors, at the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and they're both talking to me today about what the agency does. Bruce, given the fact that you were in charge of strategy and development, you know, we're going to talk about this. And Jeff, please kind of chime in where you need to. But what is the strategy? And I know you kind of launched a new strategy about serving and saving money is kind of a top of the agenda for the BBG board. I saw that kind of press release right there. But what is the upcoming strategy of BBG going forward in 2012, 13, 14, 15, 10 years down the line?
Thanks again, Derek. Let me give you a top line sort of overview of the BBG strategy. Then we can take any particular piece you'd like to and expand on it. Our new strategy that's been approved by the board, the governing board of our agency, last fall, is entitled Impact Through Innovation and Integration. And we tried to encapsulate in the title the essence of the strategy and where we're going. We recognize that in a world that I was saying earlier, does not have adequate press freedom, but nonetheless has lots and lots of media outlets, that to have impact in this complex global media environment, we have to be as innovative as we have ever been before in our history. We have to go, as Jeff was saying earlier, across multiple different media platforms. We have to do extensive research to understand our audiences' needs and preferences, and we have to program successfully to those audiences. So to have the impact we want, we have to innovate. We have to use social media as well as traditional media. We have to engage our audiences. And to have the resources that are required to do this and the right management structures to be successful, we see a need, our board strongly believes that we need to integrate our operation. So the title of Impact Through Innovation and Integration expresses these fundamental drivers of our strategy going forward. I can talk, again, in more detail. Let me highlight, though, a couple of other things. We have a new mission statement, which is to inform, engage, and connect people around the world in support of freedom and democracy. We're highlighting in our mission statement that, by way of mentioning inform, that great journalism, reporting accurate, credible news and information, is first and foremost what we're about. We also are stressing that in complex media environments, it's very important to reach out and engage our audiences and engage those, indeed, who carry our programming. We have 1,400 affiliate stations around the world. So we seek to engage those who are carrying our programming and the end users, our consumers, our audiences. We also seek to connect our audiences one to another. So we have a complex mission statement that we believe is right for an organization like ours that seeks to be a leading international media organization in today's environment. In fact, our goal is to become the world's leading international news agency focused on support for free, open, democratic societies. And, Derek, we have a very ambitious five-year audience growth target of 50 million additional audience by 2016. I'll stop here and let you come back in. I would just say that in the last year, from 2011 to 2012, we've actually seen a growth in our global audiences of 22 million. Jeff mentioned before audiences in excess of 180 million. We've actually grown our audiences from 165 last year to 187 million this year. So we're on the move, Derek. We're having great success in reaching out and gaining new audiences for our product.
You know, I want to come back to that. Jeff, I want to ask you a quick question, because you used to work at U.S. News and World Reports and kind of the magazine environment and other places. You know, in terms of journalism and other dynamics in the growth market, I mean, you kind of worked on that kind of the private side of a growth market and seeing the profit side of journalism. And as we hear the strategy that Bruce just laid out, what's the difference between, you know, what we're looking at with the BBG, and then what's the difference between kind of a U.S. News or a CNN or something on that side?
Well, we are nonprofit. Thanks to the U.S. taxpayers and the way that we are organized, we don't have to seek to draw an audience merely for the sake of having an audience. And that, of course, makes a difference. Now, having said that, it's very important to point out that if you don't have an audience, you don't have impact. So we, like commercial broadcasters, have to craft programming and content that is appealing, that will draw audiences in this environment of incredible competition around the world, even competition in some of the countries that are considered closed by many standards, because even in those countries, such as Iran, people have many different choices for news and information. So we have to compete as though we were a commercial broadcaster, vying for audience share, for listeners, for eyes on our product. So in some senses, it's not that different. If anything, it just gets harder and harder due to the incredibly complex and evolving nature of the global media market.
You know, and both of you chime in on this with that whole dynamic and given the strategy of growth and everything else. And Jeff, I think you just kind of made a good point. I mean, you are a nonprofit, but, some of this is that you are going into markets that maybe some commercial companies have not even thought about or are even daring to penetrate. Is that true? I mean, you know, you're looking at places that they don't see any viability in going into. That's the case, right?
With our 59 languages of broadcast, we indeed are in markets in vernacular languages where commercial broadcasters from around the world, by and large, don't venture because they don't see the opportunity for commercial success there. I must say that, however, very present in those markets are the international broadcasters of other countries. Mm. We're seeing tremendous growth in international broadcasting, particularly by the Chinese around the world. We're seeing it especially in Africa, which, as we mentioned earlier, is a very important market for the Voice of America. We're seeing growth on spending in international broadcasting by the Russians. We're seeing growth in spending and reach by the Iranians. And, of course, there's Al Jazeera across the Middle East in Arabic, where we broadcast in Arabic as well. So even if commercial broadcasters, for-profit broadcasters, are not in these markets, there is very much an active competition and marketplace of ideas and thoughts, and it's important that the United States be represented in those markets.
Hmm. You know, we got to take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this. I also want to talk about, what's your strategy? I want to talk about kind of the new website, and I want to talk about, you know, what's been the impact of social media. I mean, you guys have seen, Jeff, and Bruce, you both have seen a lot of changes in the market, you know, in terms of how media is distributed. And I really want to, and since we are in a competitive environment and you guys do see that you are competitors, you know, to BBC, to Al Jazeera, to the Chinese media, to the Russian media and everyone else. I mean, what are we going to do in order to compete? Because those countries are basically trying to influence, you know, as you mentioned, Jeff, the same markets that we're trying to influence as well. So, you know, what's the next phase of the strategy to continue to be relevant in those markets? And I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking about the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and I'm talking to Bruce Sherman. He's director of the Office of Strategy and Development at the Broadcasting Board of Governors. And I'm talking to Jeff Nicholas Trimble. He is the International Broadcasting Bureau Deputy Director at the Broadcasting Board of Governors. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Vacation time is right around the corner. Why worry about the safety of your home? Trust Ackerman Security, the metro area's most trusted name in security, to protect your home and family.
I had Ackerman Security protect my home 2 years ago. Now, I leave for vacations with total peace of mind that everything is safe and secure. I know that Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center is watching my home, not some third-party outsource company like most alarm companies use. With Ackerman's Total Connect, I control my system remotely from my smartphone and even get video clips of events around my home for just a few dollars more.
Experience peace of mind for just $18.95 a month. Call today and get 2 months free of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring. 888-999-1070. 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com. That's AckermanSecurity.com.
At Kaiser Permanente, we carefully select our doctors so you can carefully select your doctors. Our hiring process is so selective, only 1 in 10 doctors who apply make the cut. Yes, we're uber picky. Probably have a little perfectionism complex in there, but by putting our doctors under the microscope, we've discovered some of the greatest medical minds in their fields, and that's led to an even greater medical breakthrough. Drumroll, please. Award-winning care. We've received many of the highest possible rankings in member satisfaction, patient safety, overall quality of care, and more. But we're not the only ones reaping the rewards. Because we carefully select our doctors, you have great doctors to choose from. And with all those great doctors, you think it'd be easy. But try choosing just one for your primary care doctor. We'll let you create your own highly selective process for that. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we're here to help you thrive. Visit us at kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose, building better lives for America's disabled veterans. May 18th through the 20th, in the company of the vintage B-25 Mitchell Bomber, DAV brings its message of support for veterans to the Joint Base Andrews Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the sacrifices veterans make for freedom. Meet the DAV flight team with the B-25 at the Joint Base Andrews Air Show.
What does it take to go from good government to great? When one agency decided to modernize an old financial system, several departments struggled to transition effectively. But one office resolved $718 million worth of systematic financial errors to quickly become an agency-wide model for new system adoption.
Visit myacuity.com/realresults to learn more. Acuity, your vision, our focus.
Mark Herman from Booz Allen Hamilton commented during the panel discussion titled The Cloud as a Shroud, Fraud in a Digital Age, brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
The commodity availability of scalable storage and processing nodes
basically on demand, has made it economically feasible to expand the scope of data evaluated in real time or in near real time. And EASR allows you to make timely and actionable conclusions.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Information is flowing from more sources than ever before. Cloud-enabled enterprises can collect and analyze terabytes of data by leveraging the new technology. They can rapidly analyze an entire data set, developing deeper insights than what could be gained from looking at only a portion of the data, thus enabling better decisions made much faster. Booz Allen Hamilton believes secure, scalable, and automated cloud-based solutions can help derive actionable information faster. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices. Federal News Radio supports GuideTech's Shared IT Services Summit May 20th through 22nd in Baltimore. The summit will focus on comprehensive examples of government agencies delivering and using shared IT services, and will feature presentations from government IT visionaries such as US CIO Stephen Van Roekel, DHS CIO Richard Spires, and many more. Registrations open to government and industry IT executives. Government employees attend for free, so sign up now at guidetech.org.
Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about an interesting and unique agency called the Broadcasting Board of Governors. They are a federal agency whose mission is basically to make sure that the international people, international markets understand and know about news that's relevant to their markets, and not just any news, but free news. Voice of America is under them, and many other entities are under them. You can find their website at bbg.gov, and they have a lot of good stuff in terms of news and everything else, and you can find out what their exact mission is. I'm talking to Bruce Sherman. He's Director of Office of Strategy and Development at the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and I'm also talking to Jeff Trimble. He's the International Broadcasting Bureau Deputy Director. And Jeff brought up an interesting thing on our break. Jeff, asking you this question, you know, why can't Voice of America or Radio Free Asia or any other entities under BBG, why do we not hear them on our satellite radio or on our news stations, or why they're not broadcasting under Federal News Radio?
Sure, Derek. Thanks again, and thanks again for having us on. Way back in 1948, the founding legislation that shaped most of what now is called public diplomacy, soft power around the world, called the Smith-Mundt Act, included a prohibition on U.S. international broadcasting from disseminating its content in the United States. What lay behind that was a concern on the part of some that international broadcasting might be used to propagandize the American people by the U.S. government, and also concerns on the part of commercial broadcasters that it might be a competitor. Of course, in today's world, it's anachronistic because our content is available to anyone in the United States or around the world who has access to the Internet through our websites. So you can indeed access our content here in the United States, but that prohibition remains in place against our distribution of content. Our board would like to see this prohibition removed. Hmm. Not that we want it to be a primary focus of our efforts to reach audiences in the United States, but Derek, we've had numerous occasions arise where radio stations and other media outlets in the United States that broadcast in some of the languages in which we broadcast have asked to carry our material, and we've not been able to give it to them, including a Somali language FM station in Minneapolis, where mm-hmm. there's a very large Somali ethnic community that wanted to carry Voice of America programming for the Somali community, high-quality news and information to a community that's been targeted for recruitment by terrorists abroad, and we had to say no. because of the Smith-Mundt prohibitions on content distribution here.
You know, you just bring a very interesting point because, I mean, in America and you know, we do have a very international society. I mean, whether it be Miami or, you know, Minneapolis, Ethiopians and different other places, Somalians, Cubans or whoever, our society is very diverse. I mean, so I would definitely assume that, you know, we need to have people listening and they usually have influence back in their countries because they may be communicating with, you know, friends and relatives back in at their home countries who can say, you know what, you should be listening to Voice of America. You should be listening to Radio Free Asia. And so I'm assuming that is why this, I mean, you know, that you want this lifted. Is there any chance of that happening?
Well, there is legislation active on the Hill, sponsored by Representative Thornberry of Texas, to lift certain parts of the Smith-Mundt prohibition on dissemination. It's also a part of the board's, our oversight board, Broadcasting Board of Governors, strategic plan for legislation to reform U.S. international broadcasting and try to get at lifting those restrictions in that particular context. And Derek, you have it exactly right. It may be that our content is disseminated to people in countries that try to block our content by relatives who are here in the United States. They may share a link or share information through email. Information travels in a very different way today than it did in the old days of international broadcasting.
And you kind of jumping in, Jeff and Bruce, I mean, both of you chime in on this. You know, I was mentioning in this competitive market, and as we've seen just the changes of, you know, social media, you know, YouTube, Twitter, all the different elements that are coming out, Facebook and everything else that's coming out. Where are we going when it relates to media and getting information out to people, you know, smartphones, mobile phones, iPads and things like that? And I see that you guys have adjusted your website. You're changing. You're on the different social media platforms. But where are we headed with this? How will you still remain to be competitive? And how are you going to remain competitive in these international markets where Chinese radio or Russian radio or Iranian radio is also trying to penetrate and compete with you?
We're on every conceivable platform that our audiences, Jeff mentioned this earlier, that our audiences are interested in using. All of our language services, of course, have very robust websites. They stream audio and video. They have Facebook pages. They have they're sending out tweets. They're engaging their audiences through SMS text messaging. We do the full gamut of social media. And we do that in a way that complements our traditional media, because still in all, most people in the world today are receiving most of their news and information from traditional media outlets. In fact, of our global audiences that I mentioned before of 187 million, around 10 million comes from digital media of any kind. So to put in perspective, mind you, how we're currently reaching audiences, we're reaching the vast majority of our audiences through radio and television, but we're keenly aware that the media landscapes are rapidly shifting and developing, and we have to stay on and develop all these new means of engaging audiences, and we're doing that very, very aggressively.
We need as well to take into account that countries around the world actively block our content on the internet, and they jam our shortwave radio broadcasts, and they even jam satellite television broadcasts in the case of Iran. BBG is a world leader in internet anti-censorship programs, in helping people get access to the internet in societies where websites are blocked, such as China and Iran. We provide technologies and software solutions and workarounds to people so that they still can access the internet in those societies. And this is a real area of focus and concentration for us today and going forward at BBG, and something for which we've been given special funding by Congress to pursue.
Jeff, you get the last word on that one. I definitely want you to come back because there's so much more that we can talk about, you know, getting down a little bit in deeper with the different agencies and with IBB and the careers you guys have and how you do what you do. So I really do hope that, you know, we can get you back in a month or two so that we can even go deeper inside the BBG.
Thank you very much. We appreciate this. We encourage your listeners not only to check us out on the web, but to come by and see us. If you look under our website or under voanews.com, you can find information about tours of our headquarters on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and we love to have visitors.
We've been talking to Bruce Sherman. He's Director of Office of Strategy and Development at the Broadcasting Board of Governors, and also Jeffrey Nicholas Trimble. And Jeff, when I was joking earlier, I was thinking, you know, my dynamic, they call me Truth, And so I thought you may have had some kind of like piece. My middle name is Terrell. I thought you may have had something unique, like Truth or something like that for your middle name. So we got to think of like a code name for you, Jeff. So next time you come on the show.
Thank you.
But Jeff,
thanks, Derek.
Jeff is the deputy director of the International Broadcasting Bureau. That's right, Jeff, right?
That's correct.
That's right. Thank you guys for coming on Fed Access. I've enjoyed it. We definitely want to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.